Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have
to. Number two.
Here's John Williams.
What's number one? This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, Tell 3. Happy Monday to you, right? It's Monday. I'm still recovering from the 4th. But I'm pretty sure that today is Monday, and we're going to be here through Friday, and then Saturday we'll do the show, as always, from 10 to noon. On social media, WGN King John, Chicago's architecture boat tours are ranked the second best trip to take, according to TripAdvisor, in the world. What's number one? Anyone want to guess? Griff, did you see the correct answer to this?
I think I know the answer, yeah.
Producer Griffin Filipich filling in for Elif Garris this week. Nice to have you there, Griff. I see Jay, the intern, always ready to help us out. Don Kleppen, who we've worked with many times on Saturdays, is in the newsroom. Steve Bertrand is sallying up to his seat. Well, Steve's a tour operator, so Steve will know the answers to all of these. If the Chicago Architecture River Cruise, and there's a few of them that you can take, is the number two most popular tour in the world. Remember, we're not saying Chicago's the second best destination, although it does rank up there, but specifically that tour in Chicago is the second best tour in the world. You want to guess what number one is? Hey, tour operator Steve Bertrand, are you listening to WGN Radio yet?
Number one in the world?
Yeah.
Can you give me a country?
Italy.
I'm going to say the Vatican.
Yeah, right. So the Vatican, Sistine Chapel, and St. Peter's Basilica tour, faster than skip the line tour. So they get you in, you go right in, and you do the Vatican, and you do all this stuff. That's the number one in the world. Highest rated, and maybe arguably as many people. Then the Chicago Architecture River Cruises are number two.
So then they just take people who do those things and get their ratings
Correct.
Of them, right? And that's how they do it?
Right. This isn't gross dollars or persons. It's more satisfaction. There is a certain threshold you have to hit in order to be on the list. Is that right, Griff? So if you don't have enough, you don't count.
Right.
Number three, Tuscany in one day. The sightseeing tour, I see them on a boat, and you're going, maybe you get off the boat too, but there's a Tuscany one-day tour. Number four, snorkeling Silfra tour with pickup. I don't even know what I just said. Where is Silfra? Do we know? That's in Reykjavik, Iceland. yeah, that's not going to happen. Number five, Red Rock Canyon electric bike tour.
You don't want to go to Reykjavik?
I do.
It's hot right now.
Actually,
a very trendy place to travel, it seems like.
I can't believe you haven't been there, John.
Here's what I read, that the touring Iceland is now off. It has been the place to go up until the last 6 months or so. At the airport in Reykjavik, they've laid off over 200 people. The crowds have so diminished in the last 6 to 9 months.
Oh, shows what I know.
No, well, that's the latest.
That's good, because they were kind of overwhelmed. Their travel infrastructure was kind of overwhelmed with the number of people going.
You did that tour.
Yeah, we had trouble getting hotel space. We stayed basically in dormitories at one point. But I've spent a lot of time in the Reykjavik airport over the next... We connected there from Switzerland and Norway.
Yeah.
And did a good deal of running just a few weeks ago to catch our flights in Reykjavik. But that's a real kind of become a hub with Iceland Air, too.
To be honest with you, I'd like to go there. That sounds fantastic.
But WOW Air, right, speaking to what Griffin's saying, they just kind of went kaput.
No kidding. The airline that serves that area?
WOW, I think it's what's called WOW, and that was an offshoot of Iceland Air, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to get on an airplane that's called WOW Air. Right?
We made it.
I know.
Wow.
It's like, holy cow, Airways. I don't care. Frankly, the whole idea that they push budget air travel, I get it. I mean, I want as inexpensive a ticket as I can get, but I don't want that to be the feature, right? I just want that to be, oh, and by the way, I want it to be super safe, on time, reasonably priced snacks and cocktails, but mostly, I just want to be able to get there safely. And I will pay more for that. So if you guys, guess what? We can get you to Reykjavik for like, I don't know, $19. Wow! I don't want to get on that airplane. Number five is Red Rocks Canyon Electric Bike Tour. In Las Vegas, they have electric bikes, and you tour the Red Rock Canyon. Did not know about that. Okay, so if you do the Chicago one, which is number two on the list, the question is... What do you see? Have you done it? Is it worth it? I just want to talk to one of those people that does that after a break. But I also want you to call and tell me this. What is the single best tour stop that you've done, right? So don't tell me Las Vegas, Chicago, Hawaii. Tell me what you did in those locations. For me, I would say of the many trips that Brenda and I have now taken, thanks to our great relationship with Steve Bertrand Travel, WGN Radio, and Kelly Cruises, we've gone to a lot of places, maybe 60, 70 over the years. I would put Ephesus in Turkey, the ruins of Ephesus, at maybe number one for me. I would put the bus tour of the monuments in Washington, D.C. up there. That's just one we did on our own, but that's just magnificent. Griff, you were on that tour, right? Do you remember much of that?
I do remember, yeah.
The Korean War monument is...
That one really sticks out.
Yeah. Breathtaking.
Yep.
Everybody thinks Vietnam, which will move you to tears. The World War II is enormous. The Korean War monument with the soldiers marching is inspiring. It's perfect. What else would I put on my list? I have it here. The bus tour of D.C., the Gardens of Versailles, the Eiffel Tower. Steve says you don't need to go up. The Ephesus ruins. And frankly, if you get to go to Alaska, if you get on one of those helicopters and fly to the glacier, that'll cost a lot of money. It is worth it, especially while the glaciers are there. That, to me, that's my big five, I would say. The bus tour of D.C. of the monuments, the glacier tours in Alaska, the ruins of Ephesus in Turkey, the Eiffel Tower, and the Gardens of Versailles. Those are my big five. How about you? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And props to the people that operate those tours in Chicago along the river of the architecture of this city. Judge number two in the world, only the Vatican and the Sistine Chapel rank higher. In fact, we'll visit with one of the tour operators in a minute. But tell me, where's the spot you would recommend people go? 312-981-7200, call or text. Over the weekend, by the way, there was a lot of discussion about the condition of the detention centers in Texas for the people that are trying to immigrate into this country. There are a series of rallies being hosted across the country Friday, and one of them will be in Chicago to show support. Maybe you'll protest the protesters there. Maybe you think what we're doing is right. Maybe you think what we're doing there is wrong. But either way, Friday is a flashpoint in America for this immigration crisis that we're having at the border. And it's being held principally, well, exclusively, but I mean, I think maybe some people will use it as a protest, the protesters' point, but it's being done to shine a light on the problem. And it's one of those things where when you see the thousands and thousands of people on streets or parks, you'll get a sense of how outraged Americans are by what we're doing to these sometimes children at the border. We'll tell you what that event is and how you can be part of it at 1:35. Illinois DCFS is under attack. What's gone wrong and what's being done to put things right? Protecting children, examining DCFS. That's this week on WGN TV News at 9. So we were looking at the list of TripAdvisor's top tours in America and the world. Actually, we were looking at the world, and plenty of them are in America. Chicago's Architecture River Cruise is number two. Number one in the USA is our tour of the river and the architecture in Chicago, the Red Rock Canyon Electric Bike Tour, Hell's Revenge 4x4 off-roading tour from Moab. Number four, private New York walking tour with a personal photographer. That sounds kind of cool, right? I mean, instead of doing selfies, this is what I'm guessing it is. You do a walking tour, and you're seeing all of the cool things in Chicago, and then maybe they're taking awesome pictures. I'm not sure. And number five, Best of Austin, small group guided tour. Huh. So what's the best tour you took? What would you recommend? By the way, Tom Carmichael joins us on WGN Radio with the Chicago Architecture Center. He was formerly, I think, the cruise tour director over there. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Good. So you must be busting your buttons to see that what you... And by the way, TripAdvisor did actually not mention your group specifically because only recently have people been able to book tours from the Chicago Architecture Center via TripAdvisor. I suspect,
right.
I suspect that will change next year because people, when they think about the river tours, think about you guys first. You guys do a great job.
Well, thank you. That's as we should be up there, number one. We are on TripAdvisor, the number one boat tour in Chicago based on user input.
Yeah. I mean, so it's just a matter of time before their algorithm catches up with you guys.
Right.
And what percentage of the people are from Chicago versus out of state, would you say, or out of country?
You know, it varies by the time of year. During this time of year, I'd say 75% of the people are U.S. citizens, and many of them are from the Midwest region, people who have driven to Chicago to have a good time. During the what I call the shoulder season, spring and fall, the percentage of international travelers goes up. So it can be as many as 50% of the boat on any given October, November date can be from outside of the country.
When you're doing the tour, what's the thing that you most like to talk about?
What I most like to talk about, one of the things that I really think most people, probably particularly Chicagoans, don't realize is how young the city is. The city was incorporated back in 1837, so it's a little over 180 years old, which in city years is, particularly if you're from Asia or Europe, almost yesterday. And I think that's something that local people don't realize, that we are a new city. And we are a major city, but we are almost brand new.
You know, I was actually listening to a boat tour because, as you know, our radio station is now on the south side of the Chicago River.
Right, you're close.
And so as I walk to work all the time, I often hear the guy doing or the gal doing the dialogue, the tour.
Yeah.
And as they were going under the Michigan Avenue Bridge, the guy said, "Now, everything you now see used to be underwater." Is that right? From Michigan Avenue eastward, all of that used to be water?
Right. The lakeshore line came up pretty much to where the Michigan Avenue du Sable Bridge is. And so when Jean-Baptiste Pointe du Sable established his fur trading post there, pretty much where the Tribune Tower is today in the Apple Computer Store,
right.
he was pretty much right on the lakeshore.
So that means, the Hancock Center, Water Tower Place, the building I'm in, the NBC Tower, the Sheraton, Lakeshore Drive, all of that used to be submerged.
Right. That was, and it wasn't like it was under feet and feet of water. Much of that area was called the Sands, because depending on the height of the lake, it could be a kind of a swampy, sandy area. But it was not, landfill has made that a buildable area. It's not naturally a buildable area.
One last question for you, Tom. You and I need to talk another day, but what is it that is so great about the boat tour in Chicago? What's so special? Is it that you're on the water, or is it the buildings you're looking at?
Well, to me, the thing that makes us unique, when you think about great skylines, you think about cities like New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Hong Kong. Chicago is where you can get up next to the buildings. Those other cities have great skylines, but you're far away when you're actually looking at the skyline and looking at the buildings. And the unique thing about the river cruise is you are up against the buildings. And in fact, you are below street level because you're in the river. So in some senses, you're looking at them almost from the basement level, which makes the buildings really gives them such a wow impact.
Amen to that. Tom Carmichael used to direct the boat tours over at the Chicago Architecture Center. Let's talk again, especially next year when you guys are number one on the list.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Tom. Nice to hear your voice.
Thanks.
By the way, Vicki, you're on WGN Radio. I said, what's the tour you did that was the best one? What was it for you, Vicki?
It was going over the volcano just before it erupted in Hawaii. Last year.
I guess you didn't know it was about to erupt when you went over it.
No, but we were able to see where the lava was bubbling and everything.
Oh, so you knew it was you were able to see the red lava kind of percolating down there?
Yes.
Did it feel hot? I've wondered about this. When you go over that, were you nervous or what was that like?
I was excited.
Yeah. You know, when I asked people to call or text, you've called. Somebody texted. We took a boat tour on the Big Island in Hawaii and came within 200 feet of the lava from the Kilauea volcano dropping into the Pacific. It was unparalleled. Wow.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, and flying over it must have been awesome, too. That's been your best tour destination, huh?
Well, now I also got to go parasailing while I was over there.
Yeah. Well, you got to pick one. What's the number one?
The helicopter ride.
Thanks for the call, Vicky. John, New Orleans, the city tour. The cemeteries were fascinating. 847 said hiking the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu was amazing. John, tour backstage all day behind the scenes at Walt Disney World. See, to me, that would be the seventh ring of hell. But this is the thing. Maybe that's your best tour stop ever. There's two kinds of people in the world. Disney people, not Disney people. John, glad you mentioned the Korean, Vietnam, and World War II monuments. Visited each with Honor Flight, excuse me, Chicago, as a Korean War veteran. Very moving and emotional. Cannot thank Honor Flight enough for the privilege of that trip. My understanding is they're going to now start doing honor flights for Vietnam veterans, which is deserved too. Anyway, 312-981-7200. The Architecture Tours of Chicago, number two in the world, second only to, says TripAdvisor, the Sistine Chapel and the Vatican. Okay, so what's that thing going on in Chicago this Friday night? If you want to say, okay, I'm just sitting here in the city, I can't do anything about what's happening with these immigrants that are trying to legally come into the country, but they shouldn't be put in kennels. What can I do? The thing you can do Friday. John took the architecture boat tour over the weekend. Love it. Take it every summer. Brendan and I took it last summer. It's not the cheapest thing you can do. I think the value is there. 630 said, John, the Chicago River tour wasn't so good for the people on the boat that what? Anyone? You know where I'm finishing this sentence?
Dave Matthews Band.
It was under the Dave Matthews tour bus. I think about that way too often.
I think about it all the time.
I think about it all the time.
First of all, you two worry me, but I don't know if it was an architectural tour bus or boat, was it?
I would think it was a water taxi, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't a water taxi. It was a bigger boat than that. But
well, whatever it was,
for someone who never thinks about it, Steve, you know a lot about it.
Well, I put it away for moments like this.
I can't. Maybe because my walk goes by there every day. I'm so connected to the river, the bridges, the tour, that strip of the city, right? And I don't know why, but it's so horrible. Some of those people got sick. I think they sued them and got money, didn't they? So as you get closer to the lake, it gets cooler. I noticed this myself as I was driving down Irving Park yesterday. I went to see old producer Matt Bubala, who does a show here late on weekends on WGN Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt's oldest son, Jack, is going to go to college next year. His high school graduation party and bon voyage party was over the weekend.
So, oh, yeah. You went to that, huh?
I went to that.
I didn't get invited.
You didn't get invited to that, which is a shame because it was a really nice party.
Well,
oh, man.
It's a shame for Jack because I really give nice gifts, but apparently that's his father's choice. So
anyway, I'm coming down Irving Park Road back from that, out in West Dundee, and I'm coming back. And I'm at Irving Park and the Kennedy, and about each mile, the temperature just goes down a degree, a degree, a degree, a degree. So it's like I went from 80 degrees to 74 degrees just as you traversed along. And sometimes the last 100 yards, it'll drop a few degrees as well. It's pretty amazing. Steve, you might want to write this down. It gets cooler. Are you writing this down?
Cooler near the lake?
By the lake.
Not every day, but some days.
It says here, when I said, what's the best tour you ever did? John, the audio tour of the USS Midway in San Diego. To this, Chicago and John, Philly and New York are old. Europe is really old, but Israel. What else on the list of great tours that you've been on? Seemed like I had a couple of others I was just going to mention real quick.
I put in a plug for the Parc Güell in Barcelona.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
That was really cool. I've also, we talked a little bit about this with Reykjavik, but Barcelona is also experiencing like extremely high levels of tourism, and it's actually prompted a lot of activism around that, saying, stay, we can't really handle what we're getting right now. So it's a hot button issue there right now.
But well, part of it still is the dollar and the weaker euro, too, where it's very attractive right now to go to Europe.
So folks are showing up, which you'd think they would embrace. I guess they hit a tipping point. Ask the people that were on that riverboat that got rammed by the cruise ship in Venice. Did you see the video of that, Steve, a couple weeks ago?
I remember the story. I don't know if I saw the video.
You might want to look at it.
Those cruise ships are just offensive.
They are not. Depends on the cruise ship
you're
on.
Well, yeah, they don't mean it that way.
I'm going on a cruise tour with one of our fine sponsors in about 10 minutes.
And it's a wonderful company. I didn't mean that at all. But, you know, when you're in Venice and you see this gargantuan boat.
I can't believe how close they are.
In casting shadows over the whole city. It's like, to scale, they don't fit.
If I was a Venetian, and say I was blind, I would say, I don't think this is a good idea. We should not let those ships that big come into our town. Hard hat tour of Ellis Island hospital site. Oh, that does sound fascinating.
Strangely, two prisons pop out in my head. So Alcatraz.
Oh, yeah. Did you do Alcatraz?
I did. That one was very interesting. And I actually, in South Africa, went to the political prisoners where Nelson Mandela was held.
Oh, wow.
I toured that whole area, the island. And to be in the cell that he was in was kind of jarring. Very interesting.
What was it? Have they kept it the way it was when Mandela was there?
Pretty much. You know, obviously got to keep it up, but
how big is it?
It's, well, the cell in general, definitely not big. The prison alone is also maybe, it looks like a camp, you know, when you go to summer camp, a little cabin type size.
Yeah. Because
they have some of those big rooms where there were bunk beds and mats laid out on the floor and they would sleep there. But then, of course, you know, for some of the more serious prisoners, in their mind, they had the cells.
Alcatraz is amazing, isn't it, too?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that you'd jump into that cold water and swim for it, maybe you would. Maybe you would, but your chances weren't good. It's 141. This is WGN. We're in the 18th story of the Allstate Skyline Studios. And not too far from here on Friday, I think Friday's the date, there's going to be something that you can physically do to express your outrage with what's happening to these people that are trying to legally emigrate into this country. You've been familiar with the stories of the detention centers in Texas. And there's a woman who is an attorney in Florida, and she volunteers time, along with other attorneys around the country, to represent those people. Remember, if you came to a immigration site, you could present yourself, but those have been shut down. So the other way, as I understand it, for a person from, say, Guatemala that wants to legally seek asylum in the United States would be to come up to an agent at the border and present yourself. And most of the people that are being held in these detention facilities are that. So you can debate whether or not they are crossing illegally, but they are crossing into the United States and then not running from the agents, but presenting themselves to them and seeking asylum. Those are the people, as I understand it, that you see in some of these facilities. Toby Jaluka is on a phone line, and she joins us on WGN Radio. Hi, Toby. You're on the air. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm great. Thank you for asking. Thanks for having me back.
Your organization is Lights for Liberty. You were on with us last week when we were on WGNRadio.com. Some people are hearing you on the radio side for the first time today. So for those who haven't heard, refresh our memory. What's your experience? How are you involved in this?
Well, I'm involved with the visit to the border through an organization called the Center for Human Rights and Constitutional Law. It's the organization that's responsible for the Flores settlement, which governs the treatment of minors in ICE or ORR or Border Patrol facilities. So per the agreement, we are allowed access to these sites to determine government compliance with the care and treatment of children in their custody.
You physically went down? You were down there yourself?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. I've visited both residential facilities and I have visited the Border Patrol processing facilities. My most recent visit was to the Ursula Processing Center, which is located in McAllen, Texas. And that visit was in the beginning of June, so just under a month ago.
And what did you see there?
It was really, it was quite unbelievable. I expected it to be bad. I did not expect to see what we found. And what we found was incredible overcrowding. We found that there was widespread severe illnesses throughout the population. We found that children and young mothers and babies were not being provided with sufficient food, with potable water, with soap, with access to restrooms. with clothing, let alone toothbrushes or showers or toothpaste, and that they were being kept there for extended periods of time, sometimes in excess of 2 to 3 weeks, which these processing facilities are designed. An adult male is not supposed to be held in one of these facilities for more than 72 hours, and children are not supposed to be held there for any length of time whatsoever.
I suggested to my colleague here, Steve Bertrand, last week, I don't remember if it was on the air or during a podcast we recorded, that however unfortunate all of that is, maybe the consolation is that nobody's really there that long. I understand the flaw with what I just said, but I mean, you're not being held there for a year or a month, you're being held there for a few days. Maybe that's not always true, huh?
Well, it's not always true. And B, I think it's important to understand what the purpose of these facilities are. So, I mean, to put it in sort of more terms that are maybe more relatable to the average American, say someone's arrested on some criminal charge and you're taken to the police station and you're processed or fingerprinted and then you're sent to a county jail or, you know, some kind of residential facility. Well, these border patrol stations are the same. So these border patrol processing stations are designed with holding cells. They're not designed for the care and keeping of humans for any length of time. They don't have beds. They don't have food service. They don't have running water. They don't have medical care. They don't have any of the things that are designed for residential care. So whereas these processing facilities exist for a valid purpose, they are not designed to keep human beings
for more than
a few hours at a time.
So if I saw people in what looks like some caged areas, literally cages.
Right.
But I thought
they are cages, yes.
But if I said, yeah, but they're only going to be there for 24 hours or 12 hours until we can get them on a bus to take them to where they're going to be, maybe I could live with that. But if I said a child's going to live there for a week, then I...
Or three.
Really? I mean, can it be that long sometimes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We saw people who had been there in excess of 20 days.
So
children.
The administration, though, on the Sunday talk shows yesterday... came out and said, and the president said that the New York Times reporting on this is just not true. It's inaccurate. And there were administration officials on the Sunday talk shows, and they were saying that there's sufficient food and there's sufficient water, as if that was our only obligation. But still, they said that the picture you're painting is not true. What do you say of that?
Well, I say that I disagree with their assessment. I say that the Office of the Inspector General disagrees with their assessment. If you go back and you read the government's own Inspector General's report that corroborates everything that myself, other attorneys, other medical professionals, and at this point, my understanding is other elected officials have witnessed with their own eyes. And the Office of the Inspector General continues to release further information regarding the conditions at these border patrol stations, because they know that we are in violation of our own legal obligations. I mean, we're violating our own
law. Well, about that, I want to ask you about that, though, because I'm getting texts,
sure.
And I always do, and they say, well, then don't haul your kid across Mexico to these unsanitary conditions. That whatever our failing is as a country here, the real failing is in the adults that bring their kids to that. What do you say to that?
Wow. Well, I say that anybody who makes that comment does not understand why these people are coming to the United States. It's not a matter of coming here for better schools. It's not about coming here for jobs. They're coming to the United States because they have to, that their children are in imminent danger of horrible violent crimes, including rape and murder, and things that we can't even comprehend as being an everyday part of life. But those are the conditions that exist in countries like Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. I have not spoken to a single person who left those countries because they just wanted to come to the United States. They're literally running for their lives.
Are they coming
and
here
as
legally?
A mother,
are they presenting themselves legally to the United States?
every single one of them. I had individuals tell me that what they do is they cross, and then they start looking for Border Patrol. So they'll try to find a road, and once they find a road, they will walk and walk and walk and walk until they find one of the Border Patrol outposts. They're not processing stations. They're just kind of like, you know, outposts. And then they present themselves. If they're lucky enough, they'll run into Border Patrol agents prior to walking for 4 or 5 hours and, you know, present themselves for asylum at that time. I've had people who were beside themselves, who cried and begged Border Patrol agents who were passing them by to please pick them up.
Pick us up. We're looking for asylum. And yet we are treating people who are seeking safety as though they are criminals. And we don't need to talk about Donald Trump here, but clearly he thinks that they are and characterizes a lot of them as that. Okay, let me do this. It's 1:50 on WGN. Sure. I want to pause because here in Chicago and across the country, is it this Friday that the Lights for Liberty event is taking place?
It is. It's occurring worldwide, actually, 7 to 9 p.m. this Friday, July 12th. We have
Hold it right there. Toby Jaluka's on a phone line. So she's an attorney in Florida who volunteers her time to assist these asylum seekers, but she's also part of an organization called Lights for Liberty. And in Chicago and McHenry County, throughout the country, there are outposts of people who said, okay, enough of this. If I can't deliver soap and water, and literally I can't, right? I can't go down there and give them... The kids, many of them are in the clothes that they've crossed countries to get to the United States. They're still in those dirty clothes without enough soap in these detention centers. So if they will not take our, like, remember after Katrina, we all threw stuff in trucks and somebody drove it down. You can't do that here. So what can you do? 219 said, are we supposed to take everyone in from these countries? Hey, who's not endangered? We're talking with Toby Jaluka, and she's with an organization called Lights for Liberty, which if you're outraged by this, and I think we're all outraged, but some people say they're outraged at the adults that are seeking asylum with or without their children. Others are outraged at the behavior of America, that we are not more accommodating or empathetic for these people. And Toby, before you tell us about the event on Friday, answer this question. Nobody likes what's going on. Says 847,
right.
But I have yet to hear a solution from these critics. What's the alternative to putting these people in cages? There's thousands of them.
Well, I think that the immediate solution needs to be that we utilize the resources that are currently available to us. And the fact is there are residential facilities designed to hold people with hundreds, if not thousands collectively, of empty beds. So what we need to do is follow the procedure, the process that's supposed to be in place, which is we process them, we send them to residential facilities. At these residential facilities, the asylum seeking process begins, which is a civil process. It's important that people understand that this is a civil process with paperwork. This is not a criminal process. And there are courtrooms.
We have empty facilities these people could be in that are more humane.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Why aren't we using them?
Absolutely.
Why aren't we using
them? That's a really good question. Yeah, that's the true question, isn't it? We're not using them, not because we don't have them. We're not using them because it is the policy of this administration that they want these people to suffer.
Did you go to the one where it's really cold?
Yes. Yes.
What's that?
I was at that is the Ursula Processing Center in McAllen, Texas, otherwise known as one of the freezers.
Why you think that would be expensive? Why put them in a cold facility?
Because it's uncomfortable. Because it's designed for suffering. It's designed to create human suffering.
If people are outraged by this and they won't take my bar of soap down there, you've got events scheduled across the country. We've had rallies like this for causes before. Seemed like there was a rash of them in the last couple of years. Not so many lately, but now Friday, across the country, and one of them will be held in Chicago. It's going to be at the Federal Center and Plaza. That's on Dearborn, South Dearborn in Chicago. And that's the Chicago location for your organization. What are you all doing at these events?
These events are designed to provide a platform for impacted people and communities, as well as immigration experts, to speak in order to educate the public and raise awareness on the situation, ways in which we can improve the situation. It's also designed to connect people, because so many people have reached out and said, you know, we've put together these trucks of supplies and we've taken them, and they're refusing them, and we don't understand. And that goes along with the fact that this is designed as a policy to cause human suffering. However, there are a lot of organizations who have been on the ground for decades providing support. So we're hoping to also connect people with these local organizations that can, so they can donate to these respite centers. They can donate to organizations that are providing to the bond funds, organizations that are providing legal assistance.
Right. Right.
And
right. Right. So there's costs that are incurred, even if you're a volunteer. And on the site, they have links to those. I just want to get to this. Lights for Liberty.
Yes.
And so it's July 12th, 5 to 7 p.m. in Chicago at the Federal Center and Plaza, 219 South Dearborn Street.
Yes.
Lights for Liberty, I presume, is a play on the Statue of Liberty. And it'll be dramatic if a lot of people are there, all speaking with one voice. That'll be a picture that'll be on TV, on the internet, and in the paper. And so if you're of a mind that, if nothing else, I'll show up and voice my opinion, then Lights for Liberty, July 12th, 5 to 7 p.m. You can Google Lights for Liberty Chicago for more details. And keep doing the work that you're doing, Toby Jaluka.
Thank you. You as well, John. Thank you.
Have a good day. Needless to say, lots of our texts support what she's saying, and many texts say, cut the crap. These people are criminals. They know what to say. They've been coached. So there's two sides to that story. If you're on Toby's side, 5 to 7 p.m. on South Dearborn this Friday.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
Exhausting sometimes. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio till 3. This is John. Appreciate you tuning in. Remember now, on social media, WGN King John, and don't miss the Mincing Rascals podcast. We drop them on Thursdays, judged by the Illinois broadcasters, best in the state. Moments ago, we visited with Toby Jaluka, who's an attorney who represents the asylum seekers at the border, the people that are being held in those detention facilities. And some texts read like this from 773. These horrific conditions sound like Nazi camp doings. But more of you said things like this. I think all you bleeding hearts should start a GoFundMe page and put those people in a nice hotel. 630. Better yet, stay in your own country and fix the problems you have there and make it more livable for your people.
Isn't that one of the points you made, that we can't help put these people in more comfortable places?
I think when it says put them in more livable places, they mean make Guatemala better, and then you'll just stay in Guatemala. Which is small consolation to a child sleeping on a tinfoil blanket in Texas. But this is the thing. Those of you that are making some of those points and are very angry about this, I understand that, but I hope somewhere in your heart you have some compassion, that you're lobbing these things out here to a local talk show because you either like the president or you're really worried about immigrants. But promise me that in your heart you know that this is inhumane, what's happening to those children and those adults there, and that if that were you or one of your kids and you saw this place as a promised land and you came there, you hope that you would at least be treated humanely. Promise me that you're making these arguments and saying these sorts of mean-spirited things, but in your heart, you know that that's not nice, it's not empathetic, it's not what America has stood for, and were that you would hope you would be treated that way. Promise me that. Good grief. Different subject. I ride the L a lot. And I haven't noticed this that much. Stand by. I think my phone is ringing and I don't want it on.
Well, get it. Maybe it's something interesting.
Yeah. Hey, hi. I'm doing a show right now. What have you got?
Hello, son.
I have this conversation with Steve Bertrand pretty much every morning. He comes into my office. I say, Steve, what do you got? Give me something. Give me something, baby. And what do you do, Steve?
I try to give you a few decent ideas of what might be worth talking
about.
And
then what do I say?
Nope, 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 nope. Nope. And yet, we repeat it every day.
God bless you. One of these days, you're going to hit.
You.
Actually, I end up doing half of the things that you suggest. Have you noticed that? Eventually, it does come around. But this is fascinating to me. This is from the Sun-Times today. There's an upcoming awareness campaign on the CTA that's going to include buttons for expectant mothers to wear to indicate to fellow riders that they're pregnant so that those fellow riders will get up and give them a seat. Think about it. Think about it. You just got on the bus or the L. You're pregnant. You would like to sit down. Nobody's offered you a seat. But if you had a button that said, hey, baby on board, maybe somebody would go, oh, that's a pregnant lady. And they'd say, miss, ma'am, be careful what you say. Would you like to have my seat here? And then they take the seat.
See, what this is really about is saving people the embarrassment of offering their seat to pregnant women who aren't.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a whole host of things this addresses, and that's one of them. Ma'am, I can, okay, here's what you do. Until the buttons are printed, if you see a woman and you think she's pregnant, don't say, hey, you're pregnant, have my seat, but simply offer your seat without any explanation for the pretense.
Yeah, I found the best thing to say is, when are you due?
Yeah. Oh. You wonder why I don't use all your ideas.
Okay, that one I get.
I'm reading from the Sun-Times. Look for this to happen sooner rather than later, said a CTA source. July and August have the highest birth rates of the calendar year in Cook County, so now would be a good time to have it ready to roll out.
Is this really a necessary thing? Okay. I mean, it's summer. It's not like women's bellies are buried in parkas, right?
So you can, well, yeah, but I think this is true, too. And again, I don't know a lot about this, but say you're 3 months pregnant, 4 months pregnant, you might not be that visible. It wouldn't be obvious to anybody that you're pregnant, and yet there you are, and you're uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it would be, I don't think we're saying it's exclusively for women that are late in their pregnancy.
This is a big time for birth. But.
Well, that's what they said there, and I don't think that that's necessarily.
I wonder what percentage of women would like to wear that.
I was going
to
say, I think it's going to guilt people into moving more than anything.
And I wonder if I could get one.
Maybe like they have family leave for the husbands now, too. You could have a button that says, my wife's pregnant.
My wife's too pregnant to ride the train today.
And I'm just, and it's, frankly, it's exhausting to me, too. So how about you give me a seat? The details of the program, the specific launch date, the distribution plan, the button design are close to being finalized, according to a CTA spokesperson. Quote, we're stoked about it. The CTA has relied on loudspeaker announcements and signs to remind riders to offer up seats to pregnant women. I have not heard that announcement. I've not heard any announcement to say, please offer a seat to a senior citizen, a handicapped person, a child, a mother with children, a pregnant person, a veteran, Rod Blagojevich, anybody that maybe could use that seat better than you. I have not heard that announcement. And to be honest with you, Steve, the only quibble I have with all of this is that we shouldn't need a button or the CTA to remind us to be civil and considerate to each other. But maybe a button will do it. And Lauren, I don't suppose it's terrible if you guilt people into doing it as long as people do it.
No, I honestly think it's a good idea because while, yes, maybe everyone would like to sit, but it's not just for the comfort of someone who is pregnant, but if there's an abrupt stop or something and, you know, that belly gets elbowed or kneed, that could be very harmful. So it's a safety thing more than just comfort, in my opinion.
According to the Sun-Times, they reached out to a physician they had a physician and they also had a woman that's gone through this experience of wishing she could get a seat. And they write several theories as to why pregnant women are left standing in public transportation. People are too absorbed in their phones to notice. Ding, ding, ding. Others are mired in the awkwardness of wanting to assume a woman is pregnant when she might not be.
Ding, ding, ding.
In the wintertime. In the wintertime, it might be difficult to tell because they're also layered in clothes and scarves and we're all bundled in there. So what do you do? Well, I've got this big red shiny button, baby on board. Once the buttons are finalized and the signage is developed, we will be issuing a press release. Stay tuned, according to the CTA.
But again, do you think a lot of women would be inclined to wear that button?
I have no idea. No idea. Ladies, have you been pregnant? Are you pregnant? Will you someday be pregnant? 312-981-7200. And what do you do when you see the button? Ladies and gentlemen, you better get up. You ought to get up.
Well, you ought to get up anyway, yeah.
Well, but do you do that? If you see a woman, you don't ride the L every day. I do. Do you take public transportation, Lauren, much? Are you getting to work?
No, not really.
if this is my experience. When people see, maybe Griff, you ride public transportation more than the other two. If people see a senior citizen, they tend to get up right away. At least that's my experience. Would you concur with that?
No.
Okay, how about a handicap?
I honestly don't think that's entirely true. You'd hope it's true, but I don't know if I see that much of that.
I kind of think I do, but maybe it's how often. But do men consistently offer it to women, right? You're 30, you see another 30-year-old, and she's a lady, and you're sitting down. Do you get up for her? I don't see that very much.
Not pregnant. No.
I don't think ask her if she's pregnant. But
Then definitely no.
Yeah.
Well, would that be an appropriate thing or inappropriate thing these days?
Well, you don't have to, get up in a very showy way and tip your cap. Madame?
wait.
Drop your cape.
If I'm giving up my seat, I'm getting credit for it somehow.
Oh, Steve. That's the
definition of chivalry.
Is the announcement of the chivalrous behavior.
And now I shall relinquish my seat.
I think the age is the biggest sort of, window or door for this activity. That's what you pass through. And there's no shame in that, right? So if you're 50 and there's a 20-year-old and you go, well, I'm not that old. This is the thing I think maybe some women will sort of rebuff at, even if they are pregnant. It's like, no, I'm fine. I'm not this fragile thing. I know some people who are old enough that they will be given a seat, and frankly, they don't want the courtesy because they just find it a little demeaning. I don't know how women feel. Okay, your calls, your comments, 312-981-7200. You are next. Our text about giving up your seat on public transportation. John, I think buttons saying that the lady's pregnant are a great idea. I was on a full bus, visibly pregnant. No one offered their seat to me. I wasn't feeling well and thought maybe I should ask. I ended up not doing so, and I just toughed it out. Eileen, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to say that my daughter just finished, she had a baby, and she was pregnant for 9 months, took the L every single day. Only once in 9 months did someone offer her a seat.
Oh, no.
And toward the end of her pregnancy, when she was very uncomfortable, an elderly man tapped on the shoulder of a young man who had headphones on and said, hey, give the lady your seat. And he just shrugged. So the elderly man got up and gave my daughter the seat, which she wouldn't have taken if she didn't need it. And I just texted her and asked her what she would think about a button. And she said, oh, man, that's what I've been waiting. That's what I wanted. They do this in London, and they say baby on board.
I've heard that London does this, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Great call. Wow. I'm so sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, I think it's a generational thing. I think people of our generation, and you and I have the same birthday, by the way, I think our generation knows that men usually give up seats to women. I don't think the younger generation thinks about it.
Not to ring my own bell, but I open the door for my wife when we get in the car.
Yes, I'm sure. Oh, that's really nice.
And my son does not do that for his wife. Now,
well,
I don't want to go on about what a great guy I am.
That's the sort of thing that can get you in trouble.
It's October 19th birthday. That's what it is.
Us October 19thers, yes. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
How does that get me in trouble?
That could get you a sock in the nose from some women. They don't want you to do that.
Oh, I think you are not right.
I don't think a punch in the nose.
Did I say a punch or a sock?
A sock. Can't say. I couldn't do it. I can't pull it off like you can.
What's your point, Griff?
That maybe they wouldn't appreciate it, but I think if you tried with something like holding the door, opening the car door, if someone wasn't interested in you doing that, they would just, I think, wouldn't be offended, but would say, you don't have to do that, and you can move on from there. That's my guess. I don't know. I guess some people might just sock you one.
Well, people,
you're right. You can't pull it off.
let me just educate you, comma. There's two ways to go about living your lives. One is to do that extra thing that is considerate and might be misinterpreted. And the other way is to never offer that consideration at all because you're afraid. Now, which way do you think we should live our lives? Steve, do you have any reflections on that as we go to the phones?
I think opening the door for someone, if you're walking in the same building at the time, is doing them a favor or act of kindness. I think going around to open the car door for them is patronizing them a little bit.
Wow. Steve Bertrand's cell phone coming up after the news. Let's pick up Julia. You're on WGN. Hi, Julia.
Hi, John. I was just calling to make the initial comment, and I so agree with your previous caller. If men would just, you know, hearken back to a little more chivalrous, respectful behavior and just offer their seat to a woman in general, as a rule of course, they would avoid the awkwardness of wondering whether or not she was pregnant. I'm a single mom. I have four children, three of whom were born in the heat of the summertime. Never, and I don't live in Chicago. I live in Bloomington, so I don't have the experience of riding on the L, but, you know, we have things down here, too. And I was never, ever offended, whether I was early pregnant, post-pregnant, if someone were to offer me the seat. Sometimes I would just say, no, thank you, I'm fine. I just took my son to the Green Mill, the jazz club, last week in the city. And he's 18 years old, and he's enamored with jazz and all of these things. So it was a graduation gift. Most of the people and the artists we chose to see were very white-haired. The club was full of an older generation of people. We had a late train. We got there right as the show started, and we stood against the wall, just happy that we had gotten there. About 45 minutes in, a gentleman offered me his seat and got up and said, would you care to sit? And I said, thank you so much. I'm so thankful. Yes, it's so kind of you. And I was able to sit for the rest of the performance. I'm not pregnant. I'm not 80. But I was so touched and so surprised because it is so rare to have someone treat a woman that way. And I think that that makes me sad. So if they need a button, I think that's great. But I think it's sad to me that we need one.
Was he much older than you?
The man?
Yeah.
I would say I'm 49, and I would say maybe in his early 60s.
Early okay. 60s.
Well, why?
I'm just guessing.
Why are you more entitled to the cheer than he is?
Oh, I'm absolutely not entitled to it. Oh, I just God. Was touched by his kindness that he would offer it to me.
Okay. I'm actually breathing hard right now.
I'm sorry. It's
You're
a real
spectacular.
Question.
No, it's well, it certainly was. There was a question mark at the end of that thing you said. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for the call, Julia.
Thank you.
Bye now. John, what about the elderly? They need it more than pregnant women. Hey, John, if you're pregnant, do you really need a button? You might. John, I'm 74. No one ever gets up for me. By the way, I'm a woman. John, I think the buttons are a great idea. I was on full display. No one offered it to me. I think I read that one earlier. Griff said you need to take a break. We'll finish this conversation after the news. Then I want to talk a little bit about the penalty for the bean vandals. That's not an expression. There's some people that vandalized our bean. And we'll get to all of that after the news on WGN. I don't want to bore you with Thank you, Steve. My trouble. But there's something about your love that makes me weak and knocks me off my feet. It's 2:37 on WGN. Saturdays, we ask producer Griffin to play a little music for us and then tell us why we're listening to it. Usually it's something current that maybe we haven't heard before, but I know this song, Griff. Why'd you pick Stevie Wonder?
He's waiting for the chorus to come in.
Now, if you go down that road, just play the whole damn thing. Yeah, because this song and this album are so good.
You want to change formats?
No. I know people who would do that to me, but no. So why are you featuring Stevie Wonder?
He announced on Saturday night at a concert in London that he's taking some time off to get in. He's got like three concerts left, and then he's taking some time off because he's having a kidney transplant in September.
I saw that.
He did not provide any other information about the nature of his ailment, but he was trying to quell rumors. He said, I'm good. I have this surgery scheduled. He seems to think he's fine, so that's encouraging.
Yeah, I saw him say something like, I'm good, like, don't worry. And in fact, didn't he also say he's got a donor lined up?
Yes.
I didn't know kidneys were like, it makes it sound like a hair appointment. I thought that, like, if you need a kidney, you're on a list, and then, oh my God, they've got a kidney, and then I get a kidney. I didn't know... don't worry, in September I'll go get my kidney. I'm happy for him. I'll bet there are a lot of people, too, who would say, this is a topic that I don't have time for right now, but if you said, hey, I'm Stevie Wonder, I could sure use a kidney, y'all. Somebody would say, oh, Stevie, I love you. Here's my kidney.
I would guess that's why it's actually lined up. You know, someone probably offered.
That's what I was thinking. I thought, well, yeah, Stevie's got a kidney. Well, I'm happy for Stevie.
You have to be a match, obviously.
Do you remember? It's a famous line from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. When rumors about Ferris's ailments are spreading around the school, one girl says, I heard that if Ferris dies, he's giving his eyes to Stevie Wonder.
I do remember that.
He doesn't need your eyes. He needs a kidney.
I think you should be able to sell your organs, by the way. It's like, I don't know. I think it would. They say, well, then that would create a market for those things. And I'm like, yeah, right. So if somebody wants to donate a kidney, God bless them. But why do we ask them to do that without any compensation? People are willing to do it for free. If you said, okay, do it, and we'll give you money, more people might be inclined to do so. There's no shame or harm in that. Clearly, it's okay to take a kidney from somebody for free, and yet we need some kidneys and some liver slabs, so why don't you all just free them up for cash?
Yeah, what's in it for me?
Well, what is in it for you? Have you given up a kidney?
No, I haven't.
Are you going to give up a kidney? People could use a kidney.
It's not on the docket, but I'm open to it.
What if I gave you $200,000?
Then yes, I might be even.
okay, now we're having a conversation.
I might be even more open to it. Yeah. Did you see that story? It was just recently a story. That guy who had given away a kidney and then gave away some other organ, and it was on CBS this morning.
It's the most selfless, generous act when people do that, especially if it's not to somebody they know. There was a story just recently. I saw the girls, they were holding up their shirt a little bit so you could see where the scar was, where the kidney had been. But somebody had donated a kidney to somebody in their family, and they decided they would pay it forward with their own kidneys to someone they didn't know. That's a kind of generosity I can barely comprehend. That's the most amazing, wonderful thing. But not everybody's like that. And I don't think we should have to rely on that for the people that could benefit from whatever parts we've all got. Every time a Cubs pitcher goes down, there's a conversation in Cubs Nation about, well, what does he need? I'll be happy to a tendon. What is it with pitchers blow, but they get the Tommy John surgery? There's plenty of people that would be willing to donate whatever parts those pitchers need to get them back out on the field.
I knew there was a reason why what you were saying was wrong, but it just wasn't coming to me right away. But if we are selling organs, then they will be, and I guess this is kind of the case in the country already with medical care, but they will be so much more available to people who are rich. It sets a dangerous precedent. And Kate's actually online making a similar point,
okay.
I think.
I'll take your call, Kate, but I think I have an answer to that. Hi, Kate. You're on WGN.
Hi. I was actually talking about the flip side of that coin, but you're right, or it's the same thing. Poor people are going to be lining up selling their organs just trying to get a few bucks. And then it's only the rich people who can afford them.
And say maybe technically you are healthy enough to give an organ, but isn't it a fine line sometimes? You don't want to give people, I don't know, that seems...
Just think about it. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I haven't thought that part of it through. But
this began with you saying you didn't have time for this, and here we are. Phone lines are all filled up now.
That's because I need $200,000. But if I have a kidney, and I'm willing to give it away for free, and we could use more kidneys, why don't we... And insurance companies in my world will pay for this. Or the socialized medicine that we're going to get if a Democrat gets elected. But
that would be okay.
It seems to me like what you and I are, what you cited is fixable. But I'm not exactly sure how. Yeah. All right.
Well, when you figure that out, let us know.
I'm not king yet, Kate, but when I'm king, I'll fix that, okay?
Thanks.
Bye now. Haven't fixed that one yet. There's another thing I wanted to talk briefly about. Jay, can you bring in that sheet that has the actual charges that the persons who vandalized the bean are facing? So we got into this conversation briefly, and I don't know what your attitude about this is. but it came up on Saturday, and that is the seven people that were charged with vandalizing the Bean are adults. I don't know that that matters, but we have this polished silver sculpture called Cloud Gate. It's in Millennium Park. People come around the world to Millennium Park. It's one of the great things of the city. We mentioned earlier that the riverboat tours are number two on TripAdvisor for tourist destinations in the world. Number one is the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican. Number two, best thing to do, according to TripAdvisor travelers, is taking one of those architecture boat tours up and down the Chicago River in downtown Chicago. That's number two. And I'm telling you, after you do that, if you haven't done Millennium Park, then you have not been a good tourist in this city. And the Bean is one of the great things about there. Once upon a time, somebody etched into it that was buffed out, and now somebody came in and tagged it, and that's been wiped out. So the Bean is still in all of its silver glory, and it's just a wonderful thing. You should go there. But we are so vulnerable to that sort of thing. And when it happens, the mayor and everybody just went, oh, no. And then you find out these dumb thugs from the 35th Street crew or whatever it is put their own tag on there. So it's like, hey, guys, we think we know where to look. Because that's your gang symbol. So they had video, and so they arrest some people. And the charges could include penalties that would put them in jail for a year. Now, while we've heard that, Griffin and I have not been able to find the reporting on that said they might go to jail for a year. But I will put this out to the committee. If your choices were more than a year or less than a year to the people that tagged the Bean, how would you vote on that?
More.
See, Griff, I told you. Because Griff felt terrible about anybody going to jail for a year for doing that.
They knew what they were doing. You know, this isn't just some wall or bridge around the city. This is it's a symbol of Chicago. It is one of our many symbols. And then, of course, you know, the cancer survivor wall, which is even more
offensive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's beyond the pale. Pick them both. Let's just do the Bean for a second. So when I get to be king, Lauren Lapka will be in charge of sentencing. How long are they going to go to jail, Lauren?
Until they learn their lessons. No, I mean, the point is clearly they just don't care. And do you really think that a year is going to be enough for them to realize, okay, I really need to change behaving?
That's the problem with long sentences sometimes. It doesn't. Maybe it'll keep the next person from going, hey, guys, I really don't think we should tag the Bean because Barry and George, they're still at Cook County.
Right, you need to send a message. But it gets into the bigger problem, right? We don't have a lot of room for smaller offenders when we have such issues involving gun violence.
Yeah, I just feel like we have bigger fish to fry. I also feel like I'm not sure if we need to send a message. This is not a constant problem in the city. What they did was stupid. I don't condone it.
So you're for vandalizing our architecture.
It does sound pretty fun. No, not at all. But I just think it was stupid. And they should do something else. I would love to see them do a lot of community service and clean up other graffiti or something. Well, but I don't like the idea of them in jail for a year or over, which seems possible. I don't know what actually they're going to charge, but in the letter of the law we were looking at, it is possible it could be more.
The problem is then when you say, what's a worse crime than vandalizing the Bean, right? I don't know, pushing somebody down a flight of stairs or
a lot of things, yeah.
A lot of things. So now all those people have to go to jail for 2 years, right? And the people that do really horrible things have to go to jail for 3 years. And in fact, we're not even putting those people in jail for 10 minutes. So it does seem to be disproportionate. That's my first problem with it. That's really my biggest problem, because I don't have much sympathy for people that do this, especially since they're adults. They're not 14-year-olds who are looking for attention or trying to prove their worth to a gang. These were people that were old enough to know better. I'm asking you, 312-981-7200. You're listening to WGN. Loy Jimenez is not in the Home Run Derby, I don't believe. I'm almost sure he's not because I heard the list and I would have recognized his name. He should be in that. I would love to see Loy hit whatever he could hit if they're just you know, soft tossing him in. This is a guy that's just now figuring out major league pitching. Curveball, slider, fastball. He can catch up with the fastball. Sometimes he has swings that are still like, oh, wow, you're new here. But his swing is so effortless, and the ball can go so far. Imagine if they said, here comes another one, Aloy. Can you imagine? I'll bet you he's in the home run derby next year. Mark my words. By the way, as we go to your calls about what the penalty should be for the people that vandalized the Cloudgate Bean sculpture at Millennium Park in Chicago, I just want to finish with a couple of texts about the other topics that we've talked about, because some of them are pretty good. One, we talked about the idea that the CTA is going to hand out buttons, and it'll say, I'm pregnant, so could I have a seat, please? And women can wear them if they want them while they're pregnant. And then people will give them their seats. The texts include these. John, I don't think women want to be treated like ladies nowadays, and I think that's sad. 847 says, John, I am a week older than you, and my husband is 2 years older still. My husband always opens the door in buildings and my car door. You were raised right if you do that. Steve Bertrand was raised by wolves. Sorry, Steve's not here to defend himself. But Steve thinks that men and women should treat each other and be treated equally. John, anyone saying that the young generation does not offer to let pregnant women sit down is wrong. I'm 31, and that's how I was raised, and anyone who doesn't is just being rude.
I think what we're gathering from this conversation is that any blanket statement you make about men or women in this case is going to be untrue. People who say, women don't want you to do that. That's not exactly true. Maybe some don't, and some do. And saying men don't ever offer, you know, that I'm actually a little more sympathetic to that claim because I don't see it much. But either way, I do feel like blanket statements are not the way to go here, and button. You should operate in the world on a case-by-case basis.
So the button does cut through that then, right? Because the button will at least say, hey, I would like a seat, whereas maybe some women wouldn't.
I agreed with people who said it's a sad commentary that we might need them, however they might be helpful. But I don't know.
I would like to know the gender of this person. 773, Griffin. Hey, John, ladies want to be treated equally. Let them stand. Okay, was that a lady or was that a guy?
Well, if it was a woman, I suppose it would say, let us stand.
There you go. John, I was on a crowded Red Line train during rush hour once, and a woman standing next to me asked a man sitting in front of her if she could have his seat. He looked at her quizzically, and then she touched her stomach and said, I'm pregnant. The man got up but was visibly annoyed. It seemed to me an abuse of pregnant woman power. Okay, I'll stop reading these now. We'll pick up some phone lines about what happens to the bean vandals. Hey, Diane, you're on WGN. You're on the air. Hi, Diane.
Hi there. I'm going to control myself and not talk about the two topics you previous to the crime and punishment.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll just stick to the crime and punishment, which I think we've got all wrong. I'm with Griffin in that putting people in jail for a year when nobody was physically harmed, it just seems all wrong to me. Yeah, it was a bad thing to do. But we need public service or some other means. The whole punishment system of our so-called justice system is just out of whack. People get sent away. Oh, well, right now they get sent away if they can't afford to pay bail to get out, and they haven't even been convicted
true.
Of anything.
Yeah.
It's just awful. We don't need more people in jail.
You don't have blood pressure.
We need something else.
You don't have blood pressure medication or issues, do you, Diane?
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I have low blood pressure. This is an issue. Okay, I'll tell you why I feel passionately about it.
Yeah.
I have a nephew who at the age of 17 was with someone else who shot somebody. And he is still in jail. He might be getting out because he lives in California. The reason he got stuck with a life sentence is because of the three strikes or something. No, that wasn't three strikes. There was some sort of a black and white law issue in California at the time. He's been in jail for 23 years.
Oh my
he was 17 when he went in. He's a wonderful, normal, stupid teenager.
How old was he when he went to jail?
17.
Wrong place, wrong time.
He did not pull the trigger. No.
And they shot somebody.
Somebody died. Somebody died.
Yeah,
and the family of the kid that died, I think, is he's because of Baker, not Baker, Jerry, help me with
Brown.
His name. I'm old.
Jerry Brown?
Yes, I do. Ding, ding, ding. Because he, you know, said, let's get a lot of these people out of jail. He's in that rotation now, and he's got a court hearing actually coming up in August.
Diane, I'm out of time. Mother, would you do me a favor?
Yeah, okay.
Call
anyway.
Call me down the road and follow up on this story, okay?
Okay.
My best to you and your nephew. Time for one more call. Griffin said the next call is going to be, was it Ken or Kevin, gang? Let's go to, I guess, Kevin. You're on WGN. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air. Go.
Hi, John. It's Kevin. No, I'm tired of these kids painting walls. I live near, not far from a train tracks, and every single one of the cars is painted. It's wrong. I went through last fall. They finished the Kennedy Expressway up there, over there. It was 2 weeks after they finished it. They already painted the walls. I understand what the lady was saying right there about going away in jail. But if they don't go in jail, then they should be community service for months. I'm just tired of these kids think that they can get away with it and have their name on it. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, boy. Thanks for calling, Kevin.